Good morning, Chairman, Chief Constable, fellow unionists. I must say it's a great pleasure to be amongst friends. It does fall to me to open the first debate of our conference. You can see that they've given me two mics and another one in case I run out. So, you know, I was asked, are you going to be on message? And I said, well, I did write it, so it's 50-50. But as some of you will know, I am the party spokesman on policing. I'm also a member of the Policing Board of Northern Ireland. I chair the Human Rights and Professional Standards Committee of the Board. But today, obviously, I'm speaking in a party capacity. And I must say that I'm delighted that the Chief Constable is here to talk to us and with us. We will make sure that we have plenty of time for questions, and I'm sure you'll have them ready. But I think a really big round of applause for the Chief Constable would be appropriate. So there's a couple of things that I want to mention to the Chief Constable. He and I do have some very good and robust debates, as I have to say, with the whole of his top team. But my committee, the committee that I chair, the Human Rights and Professional Standards Committee, is effectively the committee for hot potatoes. We deal with all sorts of things. Taser, AEPs, that's plastic bullets for some of you, stop and search, photographs of youths, historic inquiries, complaints, discipline, and, of course, parades. And last week, the Chief Constable stated that he felt the human rights debate needed to be, in quotes, readjusted. And I have to say that I'm quite happy to debate with him now or at another venue on what that really means for us. But he was, of course, referring to some of the very tragic and disgraceful events that we saw at the Ardoyne over the summer. Once again, some very negative images of Northern Ireland beamed out across the world, and you have to wonder what some people are thinking about. But I do have to say to you that I had the privilege and the pleasure of being with some very professional officers for the three-day period that those events were going on. I had the opportunity of being in the Gold Room. To be more specific, I was in the operational and the observation suite of the Gold Room, but also the Silver Command, various Land Rovers, and, of course, on the ground itself. And as an examination of human rights and professional public order policing, it was a fascinating experience. I was given some indication of the background intelligence. I was aware of how that would impact on the tactics. I did watch as tensions rose. I saw technology play its part. I watched the intervention of Jerry Kelly and Bobby Storey. I witnessed the arrest of a number of individuals. I observed the escalation, and I have to say to you, I was there when I saw the petrol bombs being thrown. I was there also when I had to distinguish between sparrows and what were called fireworks, better described actually as blast bombs. And I saw the proportionate way in which the police responded, the speed and efficiency of the command and control structure. And I have to say to you that I was totally impressed by the professionalism of our police officers on the ground. And in particular, I was impressed by their commanders about the way that they made decisions in the flick of an eye that had really profound implications. And, you know, one of the issues about this is that not everybody actually agreed with that in terms of a statement for admiration. The police at the time, at my suggestion, I don't know how much effect it actually had, but I did actually make the suggestion, is that I told them that they should explain more to the public what their... Thank you, Blue. I'll give you a hand. That's great. It's Blue. It's either Blue or my mother, but it's great. So they, but it is important that we communicate better, that we explain to the public why we do certain things. And it was a very brave decision by the police, I believe, to put that video footage out, because it did bring on a debate, not all of it complimentary. and there were some very big beasts from other places that disagreed. Well, actually, once the situation has been explained to them, those people have changed their tune. Now, there were some questions that we do want to ask, and maybe when we get through to it, when we get into discussion with the Chief Constable, we'll cover those. The public did want to know, why did the police stand and take it? They did want to know, why did we not send in snatch squads? They wanted to know, why did a small number of youths appear to take control of our streets? All very legitimate questions. But the response comes back about the efficient and the appropriate response from the PSNI, that we did get 81 arrests, we did stop trouble happening in the rest of the summer, and there was a very professional policing operation, which in my opinion, there is no equal anywhere in this planet, and I think those officers demand a round of applause. There are a number of points that I want to mention about human rights and about why they are important, and they will have an impact on later discussions that we have at our conference about CSI and about the economy and such like, that these things are not taken in isolation. The Chief Constable's plea to protect his budget, despite the financial challenges that are facing the government as a whole, indicate the seriousness of the situation. It may not be common knowledge, but this year alone, the overtime bill for the PSNI is forecast to exceed £46 million. £46 million. And I have to say, when I talk to you about these things, that some of you will be aware that a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned, when I was asked about the seriousness of the situation, I mentioned the figure of 97%. And there were some people who thought, he's taken leave of his senses. Well, the issue that comes back in is I want to make clear to you what I was talking about at that time and why it is appropriate that we have the right response. It is self-evident that there are dangerous and armed men and women out there that will do us harm. Only the last week we have seen the seizure of a mortar bomb across the border. There will be issues, I have no doubt, about people wanted to ask about close protection arrangements and how we have to take officers to protect some of our most important people. But the issue that comes along when we talk about human rights is that human rights is not something that just applies to the people that commit riots. Human rights affect us all, our community, our police officers, and it is the very essence of policing to uphold them. The criticism of policing from some quarters about public order events and increasingly the more generalised criticism of human rights policing is particularly wrong. It is ill-informed and it is dangerous. If we are to confront the challenge of the terrorist threat, we must all be capable of recognising dissident Republican tactics for what they are. We must understand that policing operations are sophisticated and carried out against an intelligence backdrop, which, for obvious reasons, we may not all know or understand. We must recognise that the plan of the dissidents is to isolate our police from the community. They do want to obtain pictures of police officers breaking ranks or beating protesters so that the images are carried by the international media. I will just say that the Ardoyne, I think it was something in the order of 168 plastic bullets, AEPs, were fired. And in my view, entirely justified and absolutely within the law. But I will put a challenge, since you've responded to that particular issue. One of the benefits of being on the policing board is that you get a different point of view. And the point of view that was put to me was that the dissidents are trying to get you to fire AEPs because they want to go to America and say, look what these people are doing. They are searching for a propaganda coup. And in that, we must recognize that we will not fall into their trap. The dissidents will ruthlessly exploit the young and the weak. They will put them in the front ranks to make sure that they get good pictures. It is shameful, but that is what they do. The dissidents do have the technical capability, but they do not yet have widespread support or the capacity to carry out a prolonged campaign. They know that the only way to increase support and to gain resources is to win the propaganda victory, and we must not let them do that. I will come to a conclusion now, because obviously the key point is we want to hear from the Chief Constable, and then we'll want to have some questions ourselves, and there will be plenty of time to do that. But I will just say about human rights in general, as someone that, when I took the job on 3.5 years ago, I had the sort of the general definition of human rights, which is we're not really in favour of them. That's something that other people are trying to impose on us. But the more I've got into it, the more I've understood the issue, and the more I think we as a party understand the issue, the more I believe it is entirely what this party stands for. Last week, the Chief Constable asked in a gathering similar, though perhaps a little smaller to this, where is the public debate about human rights of our officers? I noted the report sustained applause when the Chief Constable made that call. And I have to say, I wonder, does that suggest in some way that human rights inhibit effective policing? That human rights somehow requires the police to hold back when trying to protect us? Nothing could be further from the truth. The role of the police is to uphold human rights of individuals and our community as a whole. In any debate on human rights obligations, it is important to remember that it is an act of Parliament, our Parliament, which is binding on all public authorities. It is perhaps the most significant piece of legislation for policing since the Police and Criminal Evidence Act, and should be treated with the same deference. When considering the Human Rights Act and the Convention, it is important to remember that the rights protected are not new or even particularly liberal, and certainly not some foreign import, as some people have argued. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights and then the European Convention were a direct response, mainly and most prominently, from the United Kingdom politicians and lawyers to the horrors of the Second World War. History shows us what can happen when the violation of human rights of some is considered expedient. We do not stand for that as a party. We stand for the rights of all. I want to conclude by saying that if, as I believe it is, the essential task of the PSNI is to build community trust, to win hearts and minds, and to convince all sections of our society that the PSNI are there to protect them, then putting human rights at the core of professional policing is absolutely essential. The dissidents will have a plan. It is important that we all know what that plan is and that we work together to defeat it. Above all, we must strive continually to prevent them from obtaining the propaganda victories that they so desperately seek. When we talk about the economy shortly, it will be apparent that even modest numbers of activists can disrupt a modern society and derail our economy. We must build links with any and all organisations that can influence the communities in which such people live. And you don't have to go to the match. Reconciliation is not just a nice thing. It is essential for long-term stability. Only community rejection can stop such people, and it is in our mutual strategic self-interest to do so. There are those that claim that we are now at peace, though I have to say I'm not sure how much they contributed to it. People say that they attempt to steal our clothes. How unfortunate to have to get the cast me downs. They adopt our policies because they have none of their own. And they used honeyed words. They talk the talk, but can they walk the walk? We are the party. We are the party that will face the new challenges. We are the party of Carson and Craig. We are the party of law and order. We are the party that did the heavy lifting in 98. To us will fall the challenge of securing the peace, building the future by reconciling our community. What everybody must remember is that we are the Ulster Unionist Party. And on that basis, I would like to welcome the Chief Constable to the podium to hear what he has to play. The Chief Constable, ladies and gentlemen.